You'll find your text this morning in its entirety in our bulletin today, Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. Would you follow along as I read our passage, Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. For the Lord spoke thus to me with His strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, Him you shall regard as holy. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. And He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. The fear of the Lord is a subject that is both important and often misunderstood. King Solomon said several centuries before Isaiah wrote these words that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus later during His ministry is going to say, Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Where we place our fear is an important dimension of our life in Christ. And I want you to recognize that everybody has fears. Every single person has fears. There's nobody who is immune from fear. Fear can be destructive, or fear can be constructive. And hopefully we're going to see how we can have fear be constructive in our lives today. Now in today's text, we find Isaiah's instruction that the people of God are not to fear the same things that other people fear. As I said, everybody has fears. The problem is when our fears are misplaced. Now people in this world tend to fear all sorts of things, but mainly the wrong things. People mainly fear three things. They fear the loss of prestige, they fear the loss of possessions, and they fear the loss of position. Yet all of these things, prestige, possessions, position, all of these things will perish. And they will come to nothing. These things will not last. And our feeble attempts to maintain them will not be successful. People, by and large, no longer fear the really important things. People, as a general rule, do not fear the damnation of their souls. People do not fear the coming wrath of God. People are not afraid of offending the all-powerful Creator of this universe. And you know, because people don't fear those things anymore, we are going to see the ramifications in our society. Already we are discovering that life is cheap. We are discovering that crime is rampant. People now are only afraid of being caught. They're afraid that, well, I'll get caught and I'll have to suffer the temporal consequences. People don't even think anymore about the eternal consequences of their actions. It used to be that when people were concerned about these things, that they would serve as a check upon people's desires. We've seen a lot of crime. We've seen just up the street from us, not that many blocks from us, we saw two 19-year-olds murdered, and the perpetrator is still at large. I have a feeling we're going to see more and more and more of these sorts of things. Because if people think that they can get away with things, if they won't suffer any consequence other than the temporal consequences, then they're going to be emboldened to do more and more of these types of actions. And so people today don't fear the important things. They do worry and fret about temporal things that will vanish. And we as Christians often get caught up in those things as well. But people, by and large, do not give any care for the state of their souls that will exist forever. Now, last week, We saw Isaiah's command that people were to be broken. Oh, I so much wanted to jump ahead last week to today's text, but I held back. Even though this dovetails in so close to that, I held back, knowing that this material, the passage that we just read, is important enough to demand a message on its own. Now, if you remember looking back to last week and the passage we looked at just prior to this, Isaiah said that the enemies of Judah were going to be broken by God. We also saw that the people of God were going to experience opposition. That's true in every generation. We saw that even though the flood of opposition would come right up to their necks, right up to the point where they thought there would be no hope, that God was going to be faithful to deliver His people and not to allow their enemies to succeed. At the same time, if you remember, we saw that the only way that we can truly trust in God is to be broken ourselves, broken on the altar of His love. Every single person is going to experience brokenness. We already live in a broken world. There are many things that are broken, but often we try to fix them. And we find that people that try to fix things in the wrong way are going to be broken in God's judgment. Those of us who want Christ to fix things need to be broken upon Him. We need to sacrifice our pride. We need to sacrifice our position. We need to sacrifice our prestige. And we need to be broken in Him so that He can live His life in us. And today's text continues this theme. And we find here in their brokenness that the people of God are not to be like the people of the world. They are not to have the same concerns and fears. They are to hold God as holy and to fear Him alone. And what happens when we have this holy fear of the Almighty? What happens when we actually recognize our position as created beings under His Lordship? When that happens, He becomes our sanctuary, our place of refuge. He is our place of protection, and we can hide in Him. We can find our security and our safety in Him, and in Him alone. All too often we're looking for security and possession, security and position, security and prestige, all those things we worry about losing. And yet the only true security, the only true place of safety is to be found in Christ. It's not found in those things. And then after that in our text, we find these words that are oft repeated in the New Testament. A stone of offense and a rock of stumbling, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Now Jesus quotes these words in Matthew 21, as we saw in our Bible study today, as well as in Luke 20. And He also ties them together with Psalm 118. The Apostle Paul quotes these same passages and Jesus in Romans chapter 9, verses 32 and 33. Peter does the same thing in 1 Peter 2:8. Now remember something I've told you many times. Whenever we have repetition in Scripture, that's a warning sign that we're to pay attention. You know, even if we just see something told to us once in Scripture, it's important. But if it's told and repeated, then we need to pay attention. When the psalmist and Isaiah and Jesus and the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter all tell us the same thing, then that's a pretty good sign that we ought to be paying attention. It's time for us to wake up. Time for us to see what it really means. See what impact it has on our life. And we'll find that whether it's Isaiah or the psalmist or Jesus or Paul or Peter, the message is the same. Now here's the message. The one who is given as a sanctuary, the one who is given as a safe place, is only safe so long as he is received properly. Jesus was trying to get the people of his day to recognize that he was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And Jesus was trying to convince them that to miss him was to stumble on the stone of offense and the rock of stumbling. Peter specifically mentions the Jews as those who stumble over Jesus. We know that in Matthew chapter 21, when Jesus is speaking, he was speaking primarily to the Pharisees and scribes of his day, the Jewish religious leaders. Peter is also speaking of those who disbelieve, those who don't believe the word concerning Christ. The same thing that Jesus is talking about, the same thing that Paul is talking about, the same thing that Isaiah is talking about. Those who choose not to believe. And they're going to stumble. They're going to stumble over what God is doing and what He's doing in Christ. And so it is today. There are many people who stumble over Jesus. There are many people who find offense in Him and His message. Now, one thing we talked about in our Bible study today is the fact that there's a misconception that some people have. That somehow the God of the Old Testament is this mean guy just waiting to whack people. And yet Jesus is so cuddly and comfortable and non-condemning. And somehow He's different than the God of the Old Testament. Somehow He makes up for the failings and the flaws of the Old Testament. And yet, as we saw in our Bible study today, Jesus is all about judgment. Jesus is all about upholding the righteousness and the holiness of God. And there are people today that when they really start to read the message of Jesus, when they really sit down and read what He actually said, it wouldn't take you long to read through all four Gospels. You'd then see what's recorded, what Jesus said. And when people do that, oftentimes they find offense in Him and in His message. And what is it that is offensive about His message? Namely this, that there is no salvation except through Him. People can try as much as they want to try and do good things, try and do good works, to try and do something to merit God's favor. And yet God isn't buying any of it. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And Jesus said, it's not by our good works, but it's by our trust and our faith in Him. The fact that we have to take up our cross daily. We have to die to self in order to follow Him. His message is that there's no salvation except through Him. And people tend not to like this message. The reason they don't like it is because in their pride, they want to think that they can somehow earn God's favor. That they can come to Him through a path of their own choosing, their own devising. God will understand. I'm just trying to reach Him the best way that I can. And yet Isaiah and Jesus and Paul and Peter all tell us that this is not true. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:23 that he preached Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. And he goes along later in that chapter in verse 30 to say that Christ alone is our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. The message of the gospel is a message of exclusivity. There is no other path except that of Christ. And we need to be careful here. We need to be careful that we're actually following the Christ of the New Testament. Like I said earlier, there are some people that have this cuddly, comfortable vision of Jesus. The Jesus who would never condemn. If that's the Jesus you're following, you're not following the Jesus of the New Testament. You're not following the Jesus who in His own words spoke more about judgment than He did about the pleasures of heaven. Jesus never once loosened up one of the commands of the law. In fact, if anything, he expanded the commands of the law. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You've been told, thou shalt not commit murder. But I tell you, if you have hatred in your heart towards your brother, you already committed murder." Jesus said, it's written in the law, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." But I tell you, anyone who looks with lust has committed adultery in their heart. Jesus never once loosened up one of the commands of Scripture. If anything, he tightened them up and removed from us any excuse to find some loophole through which we might escape. And Jesus proclaimed that salvation was only through him. So where do we find ourselves today? Do we actually believe that? Do we actually believe what Jesus said? Do we actually believe what Paul said? Do we actually believe what Peter said? Do we actually believe that what Isaiah said? Here's a test. Are we fearful that other people will somehow find us weird or dislike us if we proclaim that Christ is our Master and Lord? Are we fearful that others will look down at us if we actually use the Word of God as our guide for living? Do we shy away from living holy lives based upon God's precepts, thinking that if we do that, that people will reject us? See, do we find ourselves in the broad road of the world and not in the narrow path of God's will? If those things are true about us, then our fears are misplaced. And more than that, they're very dangerous. If we're actually fearing what people think rather than following God's will, then we're in danger. We're in danger of, instead of finding security and sanctuary in Christ, of actually finding Him to be a stone of offense and a place where we stumble. If we care more about what other people say than we do what God thinks, then we're in danger. Let's be careful that we do not find ourselves stumbling over the things of Christ, the end result being that we will be crushed and broken irretrievably as a result. Isaiah has told us in our text today not to walk in the way of this people. And the way of people is not the way of God. Just doing things to get along with other people and having that be your motivation is a very bad way to live life. It's a very dangerous way to live life. Instead, we should be bold in standing up for Christ, knowing that He alone is our only hope and our only sanctuary. There is no salvation anywhere else. There is no security anywhere else. So what if people taunt us? They taunted Christ. So what if people reject us? They rejected Christ. So what if people mistreat us? They mistreated Christ. If you are going to fear anything, let it be a holy fear that you are not right with God and that you are not secure in Christ Jesus. If you're going to fear anything at all, you ought to fear God. You ought to fear God. As Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Fearing people is never, ever going to result in something positive. All it's going to do is consume you. Fearing God is going to lead you to the right place, that you don't want to be disobedient to Him. And we recognize that far too often we have been disobedient to Him. If we're fearing people, we're going to be crushed. But if we fear God and God alone, and we find our salvation and refuge only in Christ, then we're going to be lifted up and placed in a place of security. And so we should let the fear of God drive us into the loving arms of the One who suffered taunting and rejection and mistreatment at the hands of sinners in order to purchase our salvation. That's what the fear of God should do. The fear of God doesn't have us cowering before God, wondering when He's going to strike. The fear of God should drive us to Christ, knowing that we have abandoned His principles, knowing that we have violated His law, knowing that we are not right with Him, should drive us to the place where we find the only refuge and security, the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. That's the place we need to go. Oh, that we would heed Isaiah's words today. Oh, that we would not fear men, but rather we would have a healthy, holy fear of the Almighty. Oh, that we would find in Christ the sanctuary that our souls need and not stumble over the simplicity of His offer of salvation. Oh, that we would know Him and the joy that He alone gives. See, the gospel is really, really very simple. The gospel is this. We could never, ever in a billion years please God because we're sinners. And so God sent His Son, Christ Jesus, who lived a holy, perfect life, suffered at the hands of sinners, and paid the price that was demanded for our sin. And faith in Him and in Him alone is the only path whereby we can find a relationship with God. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of salvation in its simplicity. And like I said, most people reject it. They reject it either because they think it's too easy, or they reject it because they want to do something, or they reject it because their pride won't allow them to admit that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And those who reject are going to be crushed. Judgment is coming. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus spoke more about judgment than He did the rewards of heaven. Jesus warned people to flee the judgment to come. And if we're going to be honest in sharing with people the truth of the gospel, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to let people know that hell is real and it's terrifying. And we really don't want anybody to end up there. If we love people, we're not going to want them to end up there. But instead, we're all too concerned about what other people might think. They might think we're some kind of religious fanatic. Some kind of Jesus freak. And so we're silent. And our silence speaks volumes. Let us not fear men. Let us not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts you shall regard as holy. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. And He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a stone of stumbling, a trap and a snare. And many shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. But those who are not offended, those who actually fear the Lord, those who actually trust in His provision, will find Him to be a sanctuary and a place of safety. That is my prayer for you today, and the prayer for everyone that might hear this message, that they will find in Christ what their soul needs, And they'll no longer fear men, but they'll trust in the Lord.